a new space race, this time to build a lunar lander. I'm Pete Combs, and this is Aero News. It's Friday, May 5th, 2006. Commercial spaceflight is a reality thanks to the XPRIZE Foundation. Now, Foundation Chairman Peter Diamandis is setting his sights on a new goal. In cooperation with NASA's Centennial Challenge Program, Diamandis tells ANN's Jim Campbell, the XPRIZE Foundation will pay $2 million to a team that comes up with a workable design for a lunar lander.
We have, with funds put forward by the NASA Centennial Challenge Program, have organized a competition for vertical takeoff, vertical landing vehicles, which are essentially private lunar landers. You know, in the 1960s, the Grumman Corporation built the lunar, the LEM, which landed Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong on the moon, and that vehicle was a very successful, you know, descent and ascent stage. And now, as we're talking about going back to the moon, NASA's interested in attracting entrepreneurial companies to do that. And out of the Ansari X Prize, we had a new generation of companies building these private vertical takeoff vehicles for space tourism, and we combined the two efforts. We expect something like 6 to 7 different vehicles competing for about $2.5 million in prizes. We have two levels. Level one, the vehicles will take off, they'll climb up to about 150 feet, and hover for about 90 seconds, translate over, move, you know, in one direction about 300 feet, and then do a landing, refuel, and take off again, and go back to the original starting point. And to qualify, they have to do that. Level two, they'll have to do the same type of maneuver, take off, hover for twice as long, 3 minutes, and then move over and land on a simulated lunar terrain, you know, avoid the craters and the boulders, do a precision landing, refuel, and then return back to the original launch pad.
My goodness, where are we going to find a simulated lunar terrain in New Mexico?
We'll probably just build it.
There you go.
Lots of good graduate student labor.
Ah, now we're talking. So it's interesting. XPRIZE pioneered a lot of out-of-the-box thinking, and now apparently it's not only gotten industry's attention, but NASA's as well. Are they really looking to see some new solutions and some new ideas here?
Well, it's a great collaboration. When the XPRIZE was about to be won, we began a discussion with NASA, and they asked what could they do to help us, and we said, well, you know, frankly, we think that you as an agency should be doing prizes. And we worked, Greg Marinek and I did a extensive study. We interviewed hundreds of people and came up with 130 prize ideas. And up until now, NASA has been doing very small, what they call centennial challenges, $250,000 prizes. And this is the very first prize area, which is a multi-million dollar opportunity. But we really expect to see a new generation of vehicles, and they'll be pushing propulsion technologies, guidance technologies, and just operational. And, of course, from the perspective of the XPRIZE Cup this October in Las Cruces, New Mexico, it's going to be a tremendous amount of fun content. You know, we have a global webcast and television and a place where you can go and watch it. And you're going to, you know, over the course of 2 days, you may see 25 or 30 rocket flights, which is for us a lot of fun.
Well, it certainly beats the record of any other space agency at this point. You guys ought to start take up shop on your own and declare yourself a space agency at this point for at least 2 days out of each year, because there's going to be a tremendous amount of activity this fall.
It is. The actual XPRIZE Cup dates are the 20th and 21st in Las Cruces, New Mexico. It's a Friday and Saturday. We are going to be having the Lunar Lander Challenge, which we're announcing again with NASA just now. And we have another competition, which we'll be announcing later this summer, called the Reusable Rocket Challenge. I'll leave the details for another interview with you, Zoom. And then we're going to have the Space Elevator Games. But people coming to the event or watching it on the web are going to really see the Oshkosh of space. That's our objective, you know, the place where you go and see the vehicles, touch them, find out how they were built, you know, meet the pilots. And it's a personal spaceflight experience, and And that's the goal. I want to get kids excited about their vision of where space will go, and know that they're going to climb into one of these vehicles eventually and have a chance to land on the moon.
It's an enticing thought, isn't it?
Sure is.
Okay, so we're going to see some exercises that are going to be just tremendously difficult in terms of stabilization, control, and propulsion. That's an amazing quantity in and of itself. What other things are we likely to see at this year's XPRIZE Cup?
Well, we're going to probably see a debut of the new Rocket Racing League X-Racer, the X-1, being built by X-Core using a Velocity aircraft. And we're excited about that. And, of course, Zoom, you've been intimately involved with the birth of that company. We're going to see...
Just so long as you're keeping my seat warm, Peter.
You got it. You're going to see a number of vertical takeoffs, very large rocket engine static firings on the ground. You know, we're trying to create an event that is literally back-to-back action with rockets, the place that you go with your family and see the new generation of vehicles. Hopefully, we'll have a replica of Spaceship One. And if I can talk the folks at Virgin into it, maybe a replica of at least the interior of Spaceship Two. So, if you're interested in space travel, coming to Las Cruces in October is going to be a place for you. You're going to see the vehicles that are going to fly you eventually into space.
We'll hear more of this interview in just a moment. But first, this Aerocast is brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the all-aluminum V220 and V300T engines.
How up-to-date is your aircraft engine? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years that you almost never have to raise the hood. Why can't an airplane engine be just as simple and just as reliable? Now it can. Check out the new V220 and V300T from Aircraft Engine Services. The all-aluminum construction of the V220 and V300T gives these engines the best power-to-weight ratio in their class. Earlier aluminum block engines suffered from excessive wear unless they were protected with heavy steel cylinder liners. In the V220 and V300T, each cylinder bore is surface-coated with Nicosil, an electro-deposited nickel coating containing hard silicone carbide particles. The benefits of a better power-to-weight ratio include increased range and higher useful loads, with less of a trade-off between fuel capacity and passenger or cargo carrying capacity. The AES V220 and V300T, as simple as a car's engine, but oh so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at VAircraftEngine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services, the shape of things to come.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 is a four-place airplane with the ability to carry 1,100 pounds and cruise up to 190 knots with a next-generation Avadyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com. Welcome back to our Aero News special feature, Jim Campbell's conversation with XPRIZE Chairman Peter Diamandis.
I realize you've been talking to NASA for quite a while, and there's been obviously some great soul searching within that organization. Do you see this as a first big step to even more creative thinking on the part of that agency?
Well, NASA's got a challenge. I know Mike Griffin, the administrator, very well for the last 20 years, and he is an innovator. But he's got the challenge of, the old adage, it's safe to buy IBM. So when you're committed to going back to the moon and then going on to Mars, if you risk everything with entrepreneurs, there's a chance that you could have an amazing breakthrough and do it much cheaper, much quicker. There's also a chance it may never happen. So the question is the proper balancing act. So he's clearly going after the crew exploration vehicle, the CEV vehicle, with the primes. But he needs to stimulate the potential for breakthrough. And, of course, breakthroughs are crazy and risky ideas. Otherwise, if they weren't a crazy, risky idea, they wouldn't be a breakthrough. They'd be a small incremental improvement. So the Centennial Challenge is a program that internally to NASA is called the COTS program for commercial resupply missions. These are sort of some more risky approaches that hopefully will pay dividends. And the balancing act is a hard thing.
What kind of companies are evincing interest in this program? And is between now and October enough time to put together enough of a competition vehicle for this?
Well, there are a number of companies that have been working on this kind of technology for a while. I think that the most visible company is a company called Armadillo Aerospace that is owned and operated by a fellow, John Carmack. John is known to kids around the country because he's the designer of the video game Quake and Doom. But he also happens to be a true rocket pioneer, and he has a small team of folks that have been building vertical takeoff, vertical landing vehicles, basically vehicles that are software-driven because they've got to, balance the vehicle like balancing a pencil on your finger, and go up and land safely. There's another company called Masten. And there's three or four other companies which have not publicly announced themselves that are competing for this. So these companies are not, starting at ground zero. They've been working on this. And, of course, we're going to have a first, second, and third place prize for level one and level two. And the prizes won this year, fantastic. We expect a number of the prizes not to get won this year. And we'll continue to the XPRIZE Cup 2007. So we'll have new contenders, and hopefully we'll give a generation of new entrepreneurs a chance to cash in a little bit.
Well, I imagine your life is kind of a fast-paced one right now. A couple of years ago, prior to the winning of the XPRIZE, but at a time when you knew it was certainly possible, did you envision this kind of activity? I mean, in such a few short months, barely a couple of years after the winning of the XPRIZE, to see these things being done and with NASA?
I mean, I would have hoped for it, but we are really far ahead of the program. The XPRIZE Cup has always been the vision of what we do after the XPRIZE, because getting one winner, Spaceship One, is not enough. We need to really give birth to an industry, and the concept of the XPRIZE Cup is really a event every year, the same location, where we bring media attention and prize money. And we create an ongoing incentive for the teams to continue their work, continue flying their vehicles. And really, Oshkosh, known to many of the listeners and your readers, is the model of what I'm trying to do. Can we create an event eventually that brings hundreds of thousands of visitors and tens, hundreds of rocket flights over the course of days to entertain them to a single location where you'll go and find out, hey, how do I build a better rocket engine? How do I buy my ticket to go to space? And hopefully make it exciting again for people to dream about spaceflight.
Well, I have to tell you, the last couple of years, from my standpoint, has been some of the most exciting I can recall, especially, of course, now with future duties flying a rocket racer. But I'll tell you one thing that's kind of interesting. A couple of months ago, before Scott Crossfield passed away, I got a quick note from him that basically said, from one old rocket pilot to a new one for the future, do it right, have a great time, and I'll show you the secret rocket pilot handshake. and then the four words after that just absolutely were amazing. I'm jealous as hell.
Oh, God, that's great.
Isn't that amazing?
He is an amazing man. Well, to see him go.
It was an extraordinary fellow, but in some of the discussions we'd had, one of the things he was most enthused about is that the young people that had a chance to watch this. I mean, he was very intrigued by the video game aspect and everything else, but the young people who are watching this, he said, boy, they really can grow up to be rocket pilots. That's an extraordinary thing to be doing.
And it's needed. As we start to look at the future of humanity on this planet, we need to develop lower cost, more efficient, higher energy propulsion systems. And to do that, we just cannot depend on the government to do that. We really need commercial industry, real markets, entertainment market, tourism market, eventually resource market, to drive our exploration into space.
Well, before we let you go here, and I appreciate you staying up so late to get this in time for webcasting on Friday morning, The XPRIZE model is now being exported to a number of other industries.
We're excited as could be. We are looking at announcing potentially two or three XPRIZEs. And for us, an XPRIZE is a $10 million cash purse or greater. It's about attacking in a radical fashion a problem we have on Earth. And we're looking at medicine and genomics as one area, automotive, energy, environment, education. Very excited about that. We've been able to build the XPRIZE board into a very significant team of leaders. Just recently brought on Dean Kamen, the inventor of a multitude of different medical inventions and probably best known for the Segway scooter.
Brilliant thinker. Absolutely,
yeah.
Brilliant thinker.
Amazing guy. Larry Page, the co-founder of Google. Elon Musk, the founder of PayPal, and Craig Venter, the person who decoded the human genome. I'm proud of the board we built and the organization we're building. We are, again, looking at announcing a number of prizes this year, and, of course, maintaining our passion in space, but taking the prize model, as you said, for radical breakthroughs and using it to attack some of the grand challenges we have here on Earth. Nothing more efficient than a well-written prize, a large cash amount of money, and saying to the radical thinkers around the world, "Hey, you solve the problem, you get the money. You know, do not pass through jail, go directly to the cash."
That sounds like a plan to me. Well, I can tell you, in no uncertain terms, our news has a bunch of staff fights going on as to who's going to come out and cover XPRIZE Cup this year. Because those of us
better
who
be
went,
you, Jim.
Well, keep that seat warm. I'm ready to go rocket racing, even in demo phase at this point.
You got it, buddy.
But we're all very excited about coming out there and covering this year. And as a matter of fact, we're going to be stepping our coverage dramatically because of one. Obviously, everybody got excited about it last year, but the progress you've made in the last year has been phenomenal. How can people find out more about XPRIZE Cup? Are there a couple of good web addresses and some places for people to get more information and get personally involved?
Absolutely. We're about to launch a new XPRIZE website. Keep your eyes out for that, but XPRIZE.org, XPRIZE.org, to visit that in the XPRIZE Cup. Of course, RocketRacingLeague.com, and my other company, Zero G Corporation. We're actually flying a flight in Los Angeles tomorrow, Las Vegas on Friday, and then Google Corporation has bought three or four flights this weekend, and that's GoZeroG.com.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Pete Combs. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the airport.